Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, man. What a busy day it's been. Manny Machado gets $300 million from the Padres. There's this whole situation now with Antonio Brown. How about that? Brian Barrett with you for the next about 3 hours or so. Number 617-779-7937. How about this situation? We'll get to Rob Gronkowski in a second, but his agent Drew Rosenhaus was on NFL Live today. Because he was booked to talk about Antonio Brown, but naturally they're doing their job, so they asked him about Rob Gronkowski as well. I'll get to that in a second. But man, how about the Pittsburgh Steelers? What a joke they are. That was supposed to be like the biggest threat to the Patriots over the past 5 years. And look at the way that that thing is absolutely crumbled. That was supposed to be your biggest competitor. And the one AFC title game you played against them in this new era of Steelers football, if you will, you absolutely throttled them in 2016 when they just showed Tom Brady the same defense. And Brady's like, oh, you've been doing this for 15 years. Okay, I'm going to rip you up. And we're going to go play in the Super Bowl against the Atlanta Falcons. Okay, so you look at this team. Antonio Brown is on Instagram Live where he's saying, hey, if you got guaranteed money, come call me. Come call me if you have guaranteed money. And then a couple of hours later, he's meeting with Art Rooney, and they decide, hey, you know what? It's best for both sides here if we decide to trade Antonio Brown. But Antonio Brown is essentially blaming Ben Roethlisberger a couple of days ago, saying he has an owner mentality and all this different type of stuff. He actually contradicted himself on Twitter, where he said it wasn't about the money, and now he's saying 2 days later on Instagram that he wants guaranteed money because he's got five kids. He also said that he wants to be known as, what, Mr. Chest or whatever it is instead of AB now? What an absolute clown. But think about it. If you're a Steelers fan, okay, this is what's happened to this team. You have Mike Tomlin, where Ben Roethlisberger continues to call him out, the biggest diva quarterback in the NFL. We've heard all the stories throughout the years. Okay, Chris Collinsworth said him and Al Michaels talked to him one time, and he said that he was dealing with a separated shoulder. And then Mike Tomlin was interviewed by the guys, and he said, I don't know what you're talking about. Ben doesn't have a separated shoulder. He exaggerates all these injuries. He said a couple of years ago he's contemplating retirement. And then when they draft a possible replacement in Mason Rudolph, he publicly says the organization made a mistake picking a quarterback in the third round. They could have gotten a better player. When you, Ben, have been going back and forth about retirement, and then after they draft your possible replacement, you decide to come out and say, hey, you know what? I'm actually going to play for 3-4 more years. All right, great. He's called out Mike Tomlin multiple times and Todd Haley. Remember in the Jacksonville game a couple of years ago in the postseason, the game they should have won so they could play the Patriots in the AFC title game? Remember what he did in that game? He threw everybody under the bus saying, hey, we didn't have a quarterback sneak in the playbook. I'd like to have used that more. This year against Denver, Shelby Harris, the down lineman, intercepts him in the end zone to end the game. And he blames the play call saying, I wanted to run the same play to Juju Smith-Schuster. It's like, Ben, you just threw an interception to a defensive lineman and you're blaming the play call? When they lost that game to the Patriots, everybody remembers this. 2016, the Jesse James play that was called not a touchdown. Remember he decides that he's going to look into the end zone again. He throws an interception. After the game, he says, actually, you know what? That's on Mike Tomlin and Todd Haley because I wanted to clock the ball and they wanted to run a play. He blames them. It's like, oh, Ben, okay, I get you disagree with what's going on there. But at the same point, you understand you didn't have to throw the interception. Okay, you didn't have to throw the interception. So you have a diva quarterback. You have a situation where Le'Veon Bell sat out the whole season because he didn't want to sign the franchise tag. So you had that whole mess going on. And now you're going to trade one of the best receivers in the NFL. Okay, so that's where the Pittsburgh Steelers are at. What an absolute joke. What an atrocity of a franchise that's turned out to be. This is a team that is tied with the Patriots for the most Super Bowl six. Chuck Knoll, Bill Cowher, the beginning of the Mike Tomlin era where he inherited a team with guys like Troy Polamalu and James Harrison and Brett Kiesel. They were tough. They were blue-collared. And now they've turned into the biggest drama fest in the NFL that was supposed to be a threat to the Patriots. And in this era, they've just completely failed. Okay, so the Patriots in the past, what, 5 years have won three Super Bowls, and these guys haven't even played in one. With that talent, they haven't played in one Super Bowl. It's unbelievable, the ineptitude of that organization. The ineptitude of that organization is downright baffling. Be happy that you're a Patriots fan and you don't have to cheer for that Steelers team that just cannot figure it out. Can you imagine if Belichick was the coach of the Steelers? If Belichick had Ben and Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown, this stuff would not be going on in the locker room. These guys are allowed to say whatever they want because Mike Tomlin is not somebody that takes control of his locker room. This stuff would never happen with Belichick. And if it did, these guys would already be gone and he'd have replacements that were competent in their place. That's the reality of what's going on here. So what an absolute mess in Pittsburgh. It's great as a Patriots fan to have a well-run organization and look over at the team that was supposed to be your threat. That's what we've been hearing for years. The Steelers were going to be your threat in the AFC. We've heard that for how many years? They didn't even make the playoffs this year. And that team is now done. It's going to be Ben and who else? Like, Juju Smith-Schuster is a great player, but Le'Veon Bell is no longer going to be there. Antonio Brown's no longer going to be there. It's not like they have a great defense. So that franchise has just been completely killed off for the foreseeable future. We'll see when they get it back together. But anyway, Drew Rosenhaus, getting back to the local angle on this one. So he was also asked about Rob Gronkowski in that interview on NFL Live. And he said, quote, "I checked in with Gronk a couple of days ago. I talked with the Patriots about it. Right now, Rob is thinking it through. He's given it a lot of thought. Rob will certainly, I think, make a decision in the foreseeable future. I would hope in the foreseeable future. I don't want to put any pressure on him and give him a time frame, but I would imagine it'll be sometime in the next couple of days." So that's Drew Rosenhaus saying next couple of days you'll expect a decision, or next couple of weeks you'll expect a decision from Rob Gronkowski. And I've said, I was on the air right after the Super Bowl, and I don't think that Rob Gronkowski's coming back. You just look at the tail off, right? So 2 years ago, he's 77 yards per game, 52 this year, 682 total yards in terms of receiving yards this year. That was 53rd in the NFL. 8 touchdowns 2 years ago to 3 this year. That was 78th in the NFL. 69 catches to 47. That was 74th in the NFL. 14 games down to 13 games. So clearly, the production, nobody would argue, it's completely dipped off with Rob Gronkowski. Now, he had his moments in the Super Bowl. The two biggest catches of the game were Rob Gronkowski's catches, where to start off that drive where it was 3-3, catches a beautiful ball on kind of like a wheel route, and then they get into the red zone, and Gronk makes that beautiful catch where he's diving. Brady, a beautiful throw as well. Gronk made huge plays at critical times, and he played well in that Chiefs game as well. But other than that, it wasn't like you could depend on Gronk for most of the season. Okay, so you look at the cap hit, 11.8 next year. He's due to make $9 million. The playoffs, like I said, it was okay. 6-for-79 against the Chiefs when you needed him, he was there. And then you look at that big game against the Rams, the two catches, the 87 yards and whatnot. But these are the questions why I don't believe that Rob Gronkowski is going to be back with the Patriots next year. Couple of things, okay. Does anybody believe that Bill Belichick will pay him the amount of money he wants for another year? Think about Bill Belichick. Richard Seymour got rid of him a year earlier. He wanted to trade Rob Gronkowski last offseason because of the issues they had. He was willing to trade him to the Detroit Lions last year. So he already thought that Gronk was close to damaged goods. And we saw throughout the season, Gronk really struggled. He let Vince Wilfork go. He let Wes Welker go. Lawyer Malloy, he traded away. Ty Law, he got rid of. So how many examples do we need of players that Belichick got rid of early? That's what he does. He gets rid of these guys before they turn into damaged goods, if you will. And Rob Gronkowski's already sort of at that level. Yes, I get it. He had a really nice postseason. But do you think Bill Belichick is going to say, yeah, I'm going to bring him back for that number, $9 million in a salary, $11.8 million against the cap to get the production we got this year? No way. Bill Belichick's going to do that? Are you kidding me? That's no way, shape, or form is that going to happen. And we know there were reports before the Super Bowl that leaked out that the Patriots were upset with Rob Gronkowski in terms of all the injuries, because what the Patriots believed is that they thought that part of the reason he was getting these injuries is he wasn't training with the Patriots. He was on the TB12 method or whatnot. So they believed that. So there's already been this back and forth with Rob Gronkowski. Remember, he was one of the guys along with Tom Brady in the offseason last year that didn't show up to any of this stuff. And he was distracting last year. Remember, he was going to like a motocross event at Gillette or whatnot. Wouldn't commit to the team right away. Was upset about his contract. Okay. So then I look at the other question here. Is Gronk going to be willing to take a pay cut to stick around? Gronk, you think he's going to be willing to take a pay cut to stick around? You look at it, last year they gave him a little bump up in incentives. What did that do for him? He didn't hit any of them. Wasn't even close to any of the incentives. And we know that Gronk has other interests, right? whether you take that seriously or not, I'm not saying like he's going to be the next Rock and he's going to be this actor or whatever, that he's going to be a superhero out there. But we do know he's been involved in, I believe it was like WrestleMania or something. He was involved in the WWE event. I'm not the biggest WWE fan in the world, but I know he was involved in a WWE event. Maybe he gets into that a little bit more. Maybe he becomes more serious about his acting. Although, you know, there was that huge write-up before the Super Bowl about his acting and how one of his co-stars was like upset he didn't put the proper effort into it. But remember also the fact that, okay, this guy has other interests. We've heard multiple times that he's been great with his money. He's saved all his money to the point where he's just like basically using his endorsement money to do certain things. And basically the money he makes as a player, he's been saving that because his dad has helped advise him and all that different type of stuff. So we know he's been smart with his money. And I know he doesn't appear to be the brightest bulb, but apparently he's been very smart with his money. So Rob Gronkowski, do you think he's going to come back for a pay cut? I just don't see that happening whatsoever when he has all these other interests, and especially considering before the Super Bowl, he spoke openly about his injuries. Remember, Gronk was talking about a couple of days before the Super Bowl that everybody wants him to be Gronk all the time, and it's tough for him to be happy a couple of days or a day after a game when he's just taking all these hits. We saw him after the Super Bowl. He was hurting from that quad injury where he could barely walk to the party. Remember, he was dealing with that situation. So why would he come back? Why would he come back if he's going to have to deal with all these injuries? He's going to have to take a pay cut. I just don't see it. Why would you take a pay cut if you're Rob Gronkowski, knowing everything that's gone on with your body? We think about it from his perspective. Rob Gronkowski has had multiple back procedures, one when he wasn't even in the NFL yet. He had another one in the NFL. We know he ripped up his knee when T.J. Ward hit him years ago. He had to get that repaired. He had an elbow surgery, and then he had an infection with the elbow. So he's had a knee issue. He's had an elbow issue. He's had multiple back issues. Remember in that Giants Super Bowl, he was dealing with an ankle injury, a serious, serious ankle injury that hampered him in that game where he was basically ineffective in that game. He was basically turned into just a decoy. So all those injuries, and then they're going to ask you to take a pay cut because we know that's how Bill Belichick does business, and that's the smart thing for Bill Belichick to do. If he's handling this thing, he's going to be looking out for the best thing for the team. So the only way that I see this happening where Rob Gronkowski actually comes back at the number that he's been promised is if Bill Belichick gets kind of like a word from Robert Kraft, like, listen, this guy's done a ton for our organization. Rob Gronkowski has been the guy in terms of Brady's main weapon over the past decade or so. Now, Edelman in that conversation as well. But Gronk has been a difference maker. He's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. We owe him this money. That's the only way I see this happening is if Robert Kraft steps in and says, hey, I want to keep Gronk here. I want to give him his money for one more year. And if that's the case, if Gronk's going to get that $9 million salary, which is an $11.8 million salary cap hit, if that's going to be the case, then Robert Gronkowski will come back, right? Because he's going to get all the money that he was promised by the organization. But if they're going to say, okay, yeah, we're going to make you take a pay cut like we've seen Bill Belichick ask guys to do, or he just gets rid of them, then there's no way that this is going to happen. Bill Belichick already tried to get rid of Rob Gronkowski last offseason, but Gronk said, no, I'm not going to play for any other team. And then they ended up with that stupid deal with the incentives that they agreed with. And Drew Rosenhaus was so pumped up about that new deal for Gronk. It's like, your client got a bad deal. He's not going to reach any of these incentives. We saw going into the season that he wasn't going to reach those incentives. Everybody else knew that he was not going to reach those incentives. And still, Drew Rosenhaus and Rob Gronkowski were happy about that deal before the season. So Rob Gronkowski has historically believed that he's been underpaid by this organization, and maybe you can look at the power agent Drew Rosenhaus and blame him for that, because clearly, if you look at it, chalk up another win for Bill Belichick in that one. We know he's got all the Super Bowl rings, but chalk up another win for Bill Belichick in that criteria, because Bill Belichick, what he did was he's been owning Drew Rosenhaus in these negotiations. Bill Belichick has owned him. He's getting more production for the buck. Now, finally, this year, it worked the other way, where Gronk was overpaid. But for the bulk of his contract, Gronk has been underpaid. And Bill Belichick continues to out-negotiate Drew Rosenhaus when it comes to his contract. So the chances he comes back, Robert Kraft, like I said, convinces Bill that he needs to give him this contract. And the other thing is like, okay, maybe somehow Brady convinces him. Like if Brady says, hey, Rob, just one more time. Let's go try to do this one more time. Let's try to get us one more ring. But you can even tell, like, over the past couple of weeks when Brady's on with Mutt and Callahan, whenever they've asked him about Rob Gronkowski, it seems like Brady is at the point where he is okay with Gronk leaving. He understands why Gronk would want to leave at this particular point in time. That guy's gotten everything out of his body. He's given everything to this team. And I understand whether or not you want to agree with him working out with the TB12 method. He's given everything to this team when he's actually on the field. The guy, he's playing hurt every week. And Gronk, the one other thing that he could look at is, all right, does he buy into the final two games? The Chiefs game where he had close to 90 yards and the Super Bowl where he had the two biggest catches on that drive that ended up giving the Patriots that 10-3 lead. Is there any way that he just buys into that to the point where he's like, okay, I can continue to do this? I just don't see it. This is like a perfect ending to Rob Gronkowski's career. Now, Brady's going to play to you, rip him off the field, but Gronk's been talking about retirement for the past 2 years. You just went off and you reminded us why you're the best tight end in the history of the NFL, in my mind. I get guys have had longer careers and bigger numbers, but Gronk, there was a legitimate discussion at one point. Who's the biggest weapon in the NFL? Is it Calvin Johnson or is it Rob Gronkowski? That was a legitimate conversation that we were having. Okay, so the best tight end in the history of the NFL, in my mind, you kind of go out like John Elway did at the quarterback position where, okay, John Elway didn't have the best seasons his final 2 years, but Terrell Davis helped him get that Super Bowl ring, those two Super Bowl rings, and then you look at Rob Gronkowski, okay, not the best year. You were ineffective for the bulk of the year, although everybody wants to applaud his blocking. Okay, I'm sorry. The blocking isn't worth an $11.8 million cap hit next year, and I think Bill Belichick knows that as well as anybody. But you get into the playoffs, you have huge catches against the Chiefs, and then you play in the Super Bowl, and you have a diving catch. Like, that would be the last catch of your NFL career, where you dive at the goal line to make that play. That would be the lasting image of your career. And that's what we'd remember about Gronk's final year. We wouldn't look back and say, oh, look, Gronk's final year, that guy was not nearly the same player that he was before. But if he comes back next year and he looks like the player he was for the majority of the 2018 season, then we're going to be looking at and remember back to, oh, yeah, remember when Gronk wasn't really good anymore? It's kind of like Emmitt Smith. Like, remember when Emmitt Smith wasn't really good anymore? He was holding on to break records. And I understand Gronk wouldn't be holding on to break records, but you would go out on top. You would go out like most guys want to go out. And Gronk has talked multiple times about how tough it is for him to come back from injuries. So I just don't see it. I really do not see Rob Gronkowski coming back next season. But if you look at it in terms of this dynasty with the Patriots, right? In this era, the 3 and 5 years, and really the success they've had since Gronkowski has come into the league, like who outside of Tom Brady and, of course, Bill Belichick, I'm talking about the players, though, like who else ranks higher than Gronk in terms of the dynasties of the Patriots? Like, who are the other guys that are even on that level? Like, Gronk's going to the Hall of Fame. Look, Teddy Bruschi was great, but there's been other players like Teddy Bruschi. Ty Law was great, but there's been other players like Ty Law. Like, they rented Darrell Revis for a year. Look at Stephon Gilmore this year. Gilmore was great for the Patriots. He was a first-team All-Pro. So we've had guys like that before. Richard Seymour was great getting after the quarterback, but remember Chandler Jones in 2014 was great getting after the quarterback, and this year, Trey Flowers was great. They've never had anything that even resembles Rob Gronkowski in terms of being that capable at the tight end position where he can dominate in the blocking game. And then in the passing game, he's more dangerous than really 99% of the receivers in the NFL. That's what he was for the prime of his career. So when you look at the players in terms of this dynasty with the Patriots, even going back to the original dynasty, which started way back in 2001 when Tom Brady won his first Super Bowl against the Rams, that dynasty, how many players have been more important than Rob Gronkowski in this thing? There's not many. I don't even know if there is one. I can't think of one off the top of my head where I would say, okay, that guy's been more important, more vital to this Patriots dynasty than has Rob Gronkowski. Maybe a point to a defensive player, but I don't see the guy that jumps off the page. Maybe it's a, look, Julian Edelman's been great for the past couple of years, the 3 and 5 years and whatnot. Certainly he's been great. And I understand Gronk wasn't around for that second Super Bowl against Atlanta. So maybe you could argue somebody along the lines of Julian Edelman. But when Edelman's been out, remember, Danny Amendola has been great in his place. So you've never had anybody that's been near the player that Rob Gronkowski has been. So Gronk, I mean, look, the impact he had on this team has been absolutely incredible. But from a pure fan perspective, I don't want to see Gronk go out on the field next year and be hampered by injuries and look like the guy that we saw for the majority of this season. I don't want to see that player. I really don't want to see that player. Like Bird at the end of his career, where he had to lay down with the back injury. That's how I envision Rob Gronkowski ending his career, because it seems like if he comes back, we know he's continually been hurt throughout his career. It's only going to continue. It's only going to continue. So, man, from just like an aesthetically pleasing situation, I don't see it being aesthetically pleasing with Rob Gronkowski on the field for the Patriots next year. I really don't. Now, if he wants to come back at a reduced number, play that blocking role, and then make sure you can just get him to the postseason, I'm all for it if he wants to do that. If he wants to take a pay cut and do it and say, all right, I want to do one more run here, try to get another Super Bowl, I'm fine with that. But I just don't see Rob Gronkowski saying that he wants to take a pay cut because we've seen in the past he's been so upset about his contract. He's felt like the Patriots have ripped him off, and rightfully so. Or at least at the fact they've out-negotiated Drew Rosenhaus. So if he's been upset about that all these years, why would he want to take a significant pay cut? Bill Belichick's not letting him get the same amount of money that he was supposed to get because of the fact that he's not been the same player. He really has not been the same player the past year. Yeah, we saw glimpses of it in the postseason, but that player is not coming back. The player that was the most dominant player at his position, maybe in the history of the NFL, that player is no longer coming back. So everything that Rob Gronkowski has said, all the talk about the injuries, the fact that Bill Belichick is not going to overpay him. In fact, he's probably going to try to lowball him even more based on what they've done over the years. The fact that we saw Bill Belichick, or a report came out that the Patriots are upset that Rob Gronkowski was still working out with the TB12 plan instead of the Patriots plan. I just don't see the guy coming back. I really don't see it. And you know what? Good for Gronk. Retire early at the age of 29, 30, whatever it is. You've got a bunch of Super Bowl rings. You got a bunch of money. And unlike a lot of guys in the NFL, it seems like you have a promising career after the league. You're not like somebody that doesn't have a ton of options. Like, some of these guys only have one option, maybe do some broadcasting. That's about it. It seems like Gronk has still a ton of sponsors. And it appears that there's companies like the WWE and maybe some acting stuff that he could get into. So if I'm Rob Gronkowski, good for you, man. If you can make some money off the field, like so many other players have struggled throughout their careers to make money after they leave, go ahead and do it. All right, a lot more to get into, a Patriots angle as well. So Odell Beckham Jr., apparently Odell Beckham Jr. was on the trading block last year. The Giants ended up giving him a contract extension, but now talks are heating up again. The Giants could be a team that looks like, all right, maybe we're rebuilding. Maybe we're rebuilding. Maybe we're going to move on finally from the Eli Manning era. So if they do move on from the Eli Manning era, does that mean that Odell Beckham Jr. is now going to be on the trading block again? And if he is on the trading block, do you want the New England Patriots to go after Odell Beckham Jr.? 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you right here on WEI for about the next 2.5 hours or so. All right, well, Rob Gronkowski may not be coming back next season. Somebody that certainly is going to be playing football, though, is Odell Beckham Jr. Now, we've seen the reporting that the Patriots were after Odell Beckham Jr. apparently last year. And Chris Sims from Pro Football Talk, NBC Sports, all that different type of stuff, he reported that ultimately the Giants were thrown off with how much the Patriots were interested to the point that they said no. So the Giants last year were contemplating a trade with Odell Beckham Jr., and the Patriots were one of the teams that apparently, according to Chris Sims, was badgering, absolutely badgering the Giants about Odell Beckham Jr. to the point where they're saying, wait, hold on. If the smartest organization in the history of the sport, if the best coach in the history of the sport are badgering us about Odell Beckham Jr., maybe we shouldn't trade him. But now, with the way that Eli Manning performed this year, which was putrid again, the fact that the Giants have another top 10 pick in the draft, number 6, I believe, and it appears finally maybe they'll move on from Eli Manning. Maybe they take Dwayne Haskins, the kid out of Ohio State, at number 6. So if Odell Beckham Jr. is back on the market this year, should the Patriots and Bill Belichick go after him? 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you for the next 3.5 hours or so, 2.5 hours or so now, I should say. And I look at it as, if I'm the Patriots, absolutely, 100% I'm going after Odell Beckham Jr. The Patriots we saw last year, if you believe these reports from Chris Sims, they were willing to give up picks and they were willing to pay Odell Beckham Jr. Because remember, at that point, he hadn't got a new contract yet. So Bill Belichick at that point thought high enough, if you believe the reports of Odell Beckham Jr., that he was willing to not only give up draft capital for him, but also willing to give Odell Beckham Jr. a new contract. And it's very, very important because if you look at that, remember what happened with Brandon Cooks. He didn't want to give Brandon Cooks the big deal. He didn't believe in giving Brandon Cooks the big deal because he said, not exactly a number one receiver, and we saw that come true in the Super Bowl. Remember, there's a play down the sidelines where Daron Harmon hits him, the ball comes out of his hands. A number one receiver makes that catch. And you could even argue that the play in the back of the end zone, and I get Jared Goff threw it late to him, but the play that Jason McCourty broke up in the back of the end zone, a number one quality receiver makes that catch. So Belichick turned out to be right about that one. That's going to be a bad contract, $80 million for Brandon Cooks. But he was willing to give up a draft pick and pay for Odell Beckham Jr. So Belichick already thinks very, very highly of the player. Much more high than he thought of Brandon Cooks. Much higher than that guy. Okay. So you also look at it from this perspective. Look at this receiving core. What did it tell you about the receiving core, what Bill thought of it this year? Bill obviously thought it was undermanned to the point where he went into the season with Julian Edelman suspended. And, of course, you have guys like Philip Dorsett and Chris Hogan that were masquerading as number two and number three wide receivers. And at one point, number one receivers. You have a guy in Cordarrelle Patterson that, in my mind, is better as a running back than he is as a receiver at this particular point in time. He's never proven himself as a receiver. So those are the guys that you gave Brady to begin the season. Remember, Amendola was no longer with the team. Of course, we mentioned the fact that Cooks was gone. So Belichick knew then he had to upgrade the receiving core. He just was not able to get Odell Beckham Jr. Now, he ends up getting Josh Gordon at one point during the season. We all know what happened with that, where Gordon has to step away from football and the suspension was coming and all this. But this receiving core was undermanned this year. There was a problem with the receiving core. Now, Edelman was great in the Super Bowl, and he was great in the postseason. We all know about this. But other than that, who can you really rely on in terms of this receiving core? You have a bunch of guys that are number three, number four type options, and we just talked about Rob Gronkowski. I don't even think the guy is coming back. I ultimately think he decides to retire. Maybe you disagree on that. But nonetheless, at the very least, even if Rob Gronkowski comes back, he's not the same Gronk that we've seen in previous seasons. And now you look at it. We look at Brady, clearly not the same type of year that we're accustomed to seeing from Tom Brady. And we look at teams like the Colts are getting better, okay? The Kansas City Chiefs, we saw how good they were to the point where Pat Mahomes almost pulled off the comeback in the AFC Championship game after going scoreless in the first half. Now, you look at Tom Brady this year, 7th in yards, 18th in completion percentage at 65, which is good, but still 18th, 12th in quarterback rating, and 10th in touchdowns at 29. Those aren't typical Tom Brady numbers. And even if you look at the postseason, he ends up with 2 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. And I get that he was really good in the Chargers game, and he played really well in the Chiefs game as well. But we look at the Super Bowl, he had 1 good drive. He had the 2 beautiful throws to Rob Gronkowski. That's really it from that game. Brady was confused by Wade Phillips' defense for the majority of that game. So Brady's production clearly slipped off this season. There's no way around that. And I'm not one of these guys that's, look, the Kellerman-Cliff thing is ridiculous. Brady's still a really good quarterback. But clearly, even the biggest Brady fan, you have to admit that at the age of 41, this season, he didn't look like the same quarterback that he did last year. Where last year in the Super Bowl, Brady was the reason you should have won, where he threw for 505 yards. This year, you could have easily lost the game because Brady played poorly in it. The defense is what picked you up. So if you're Bill Belichick, you're the reason that this team won the Super Bowl. The defensive game plans you had for first Phillip Rivers, and then secondarily, the game against the Chiefs where you held Pat Mahomes down long enough in the first half where you held him scoreless. And then, of course, the masterpiece, the game plan he had against Jared Goff and the Rams, which, oh, by the way, Sean McVay still hasn't made an adjustment in that game, which I still cannot believe that they didn't do one thing differently. But nonetheless, we're in a situation now where you look at it, they won because of the defense, and the offense did just enough in that Super Bowl to win that game. But now you're thinking about it. Okay, Brady wasn't the same player at 41. Now he's going to be turning 42. Isn't this the time where you go all in? You look at Julian Edelman. He's your most dependable weapon coming back, right? James White out of the backfield and whatnot. I get that. But you look at Edelman. He's 33 this year. He's going to be 33 years old. And we know that he's dealt with injuries throughout his career. He just came back from an injury last year. Now he looked great in the Super Bowl, but he's 33 and he's taken a lot of hits. So who else can you depend on in terms of your receiving core? There's nobody else there. So at this point, if you're Bill Belichick, and clearly he looked to do it last year when he was looking at Odell Beckham Jr., isn't this where you go all in on an offensive option? You're not going to get a better player in the first round of the draft than Odell Beckham Jr., right? So if you're going to give up a first-round pick, I would much rather do it and go after a guy like Odell Beckham Jr. than take somebody that you try to build up. And we know historically Belichick has drafted receivers poorly. That has not been a good position for him throughout the years. You look at the receivers they've drafted with the Patriots, these guys don't work out. The Josh Boyces of the world, now they hit on a couple of guys where Edelman, where he was a quarterback, like the Edelman thing worked out, but most of the receivers they bring in are guys that have been with other teams. Wes Welker was with the Dolphins, okay? Brandon LaFell, a guy that worked out for about a year and a half, he was with another organization before he came over to the Patriots, is with the Rams at one point. Right, same thing with a guy like Brandon Lloyd. He came over from a different team. Or rather, LaFell was with the Panthers. Lloyd was with the Rams and the Niners. He had the relationship with Josh McDaniels. But most of the guys in the receiving corps that have been productive for the Patriots are guys that they haven't really drafted. Right? You go back to like Deion Branch, right? So most of these guys that they actually have success with are guys they pick up on the open market that are veterans that they believe in. It's not when Bill Belichick is drafting guys like Chad Jackson and whatnot. They have not been good in terms of the NFL draft. We see it. They have not been good whatsoever. So now you look at it is, okay, we probably got another 1 or 2 years with this team, and our weapons were not good last year. We got by because we came up with great defensive game plans, if we're Bill Belichick and company, to be able to beat these teams in the postseason, and the offense did just enough in that Super Bowl to win it. But clearly, we can't go into next season when I look at a team like the Chiefs, and you have Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and that group of players, and you look at a team like the Colts, where they are coming on strong. Clearly, they've upgraded their offensive line play. They get a guy like T.Y. Hilton. The Texans are on the come up with DeAndre Hopkins there, and we know Deshaun Watson had a tough game in the postseason, but overall, that guy looked like he had a really good season. I'd be willing to build my franchise around him, and we know what they have defensively. So the AFC has gotten better. We've seen it. The San Diego Chargers, or rather the Los Angeles Chargers, they had a much better season than most people expected, and Phillip Rivers is going to come back, and you're going to have guys like Keenan Allen on that offense, along with a healthy Melvin Gordon and whatnot. So you got to get more weapons for your guys. And you would think at this particular point with Brady, he's going to need that guy. So for so many years, Brady was the one that was making the receivers better. And now he needs some help from the receivers. He needs a game changer, which he really hasn't had the past few years. And no longer is Gronk, even if he comes back, he's not a game changer anymore. Not the same player. So you look at what's out there on the market, it's like Golden Tate, but he's looking for a big deal at 31. Now, Golden Tate would fit well in this offense because it's a lot of run after the catch stuff, and Golden Tate, one of the best in the NFL at that. But he's 31. He's going to be looking for his last contract. It's going to be big money. When you know Odell Beckham Jr. is out there, if he really is on the trading market, and you look at it, 26 years old, he turns 27 in the middle of next season in November. So you get a guy in Odell Beckham Jr. that's not a one-trick pony like a Brandon Cooks. You can line him up all over the field. And it's not like Antonio Brown, where he's got all these issues off the field, where Antonio Brown has like actual legal issues. All Odell Beckham Jr.'s issues have been on the field. I guess he had that one boat trip thing, but doesn't that really speak more about Eli Manning and Ben McAdoo at that time, that you had receivers going off on a boat trip, like that they felt that that was okay? None of that crap's going to happen with the Patriots. Most of the stuff that Odell Beckham Jr. is mad about is the fact that his team's not winning. I'm not saying he's the greatest teammate in the world. I mean, I understand that stuff with the net was bizarre and all that. But when he comes to New England, if he does, this is all hypothetical, he's not going to be a problem. Look at Randy Moss. Randy Moss felt like he was in jail when he was at the Raiders. Not literally, but in football jail, where he couldn't be the same player. He was having issues where he wouldn't even run off the line of scrimmage. He was a serious problem there. He comes to the Patriots, sets the record for the most touchdowns in a single season by a receiver. Okay, now I understand there was problems with Randy at the end, but that was at the end, not when they were having all their success. Odell Beckham Jr. is going to come to the Patriots, and he's going to be like, oh my God, I actually have a chance to play on a relevant team because I've been playing on a Giants team that stinks with a bad quarterback in Eli Manning. Think about this. He had 108 yards per game in his rookie season with Eli. He's had 3 years of double-digit touchdowns. 87 yards a game last season with Eli Manning as the quarterback. So he's going to come to the Patriots, and it's going to be like, oh my God, there's actually structure here. There's actually, you know, like a quarterback that can throw me the ball in different positions. Oh, there's actually other guys he throws the ball to instead of just targeting me where nobody else takes the pressure off me. Oh, there's actually like a consistent offensive line, which we don't have in New York. So all these things, Odell Beckham Jr. is going to be like, I have a chance to win here. And he's going to talk to different guys. Randy Moss will probably reach out to him when this happens, if it happens, hypothetically. I know it's hypothetical, but I'm all in. Look, Odell Beckham Jr. will be on his best behavior. He'll be a problem when Brady is, like, done. That's when he becomes a problem. I'm fine with it. If you can get Odell Beckham Jr. and you can actually have a game changer on this offense, because right now you do not have that element to your offense. You do not have a game changer. You did not have it this year in the postseason, and you were lucky to get by because the defense was so good in the Super Bowl, but you do not have that game changer right now on your offense. So if I'm Bill Belichick, I look at my team right now. What I need is a dominant receiver to help Tom Brady. This is the point where Brady needs the help from the receivers. He's been helping them for all these years. He needs the help. If I was advising Bill Belichick, which I know he doesn't need my help, but I would be completely all in on Odell Beckham Jr. All right, 617-779-7937, the number. Brian Barrett with you for about the next 2 hours and about 20 minutes. Certainly welcome to get on board on anything if you want to talk about Kyrie, Brad Stevens, the situation with Gronk, and now Odell Beckham Jr. Would you want him? You're listening to Brian Barrett right here on WEEI. All right, so now you look forward to the Patriots and what they're going to do in the draft and free agency and all that type of stuff. I told you, if there was a chance to get Odell Beckham Jr., I'd be all in. And you would think that the Giants would rather trade him to an AFC team than an NFC team. 100% I'd be all in. We know Bill Belichick has a relationship with the Giants and whatnot. We know there was reports that the Patriots were badgering the Giants last year about trading for Odell Beckham Jr. If it was me and I had a chance to upgrade the receiving core when clearly the quarterback took a step back this year, and I get Brady's still great, but in the postseason he was not the same player. Look at him in terms of the Super Bowl. Now, he had a nice game against the Chiefs, a defense that was horrible. He played well against the Chargers, a defense, oh, by the way, that showed him the same look the entire game. Then when he was actually confused a little bit by Wade Phillips, never figured it out. He had one nice drive with Rob Gronkowski having two great catches. Brady was not great in the postseason. We ran through the numbers earlier. He was not great during the regular season. He's still a great quarterback, but he's not the same dominant quarterback that you've had that played at an MVP level for really the past 4 to 5 years before this year. He's not that guy. So if you have an opportunity to go out there and upgrade your receiving core, this is the part of Brady's career where the receiver is supposed to pick him up, okay? Because he's been picking up the receivers for so many years. If you can add an Odell Beckham Jr., who's as dynamic as they come at the receiver position, go ahead and do it now, because that's going to give you a better chance to win a Super Bowl in this window with Tom Brady. Because who knows what's happening after Tom Brady? Who knows what's going to happen with this organization? So you get Odell Beckham Jr. in here, maybe help the Patriots make one more run at a Super Bowl in the Brady era. Because that's clearly what you need. Just because you look back at this year and you say, okay, we out-schemed all these teams in the postseason, the Chargers, the Chiefs, the Rams, we out-coached all these teams. That doesn't mean you can do it again during the postseason next year. And you look back at the regular season, remember, they were 11-5 because the offense wasn't what it has been in previous seasons. They lost road games to the Dolphins and the Lions. And I get it. That's all in the past because they won the Super Bowl. But that's reality. They were not the same juggernaut offensively as they've previously been. If you can get a jolt of energy and a dynamic player like Odell Beckham Jr., if I'm Bill Belichick and I'm the Patriots, I'm doing that right away. 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you right here on WEEI. I'm going after Odell Beckham Jr. I'm completely all in. Now, I'd much rather have Odell Beckham Jr. than Antonio Brown, because Antonio Brown, we're looking at that situation, and I get that technically the Pittsburgh Steelers have said the Patriots are one of the teams they wouldn't trade with. The three teams in the division and the Patriots, I'm with you. I wouldn't trade him to the Patriots either if I was the Steelers. That'd just be dumb business, because he goes to the Patriots and then he's beating you for years, because you're going to still want to compete with Ben Roethlisberger. I would not trade him to the Patriots either. Now, the division stuff, you really believe in the Bengals? You really believe in the Bengals? Trade him to the Bengals. See how he likes it there. Antonio Brown, this is a guy that, remember, he didn't show up to a couple of days of training camp and the team hit it up. Ed Bouchette of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette reported that. And then you look at during the end of the season, and I get it turned out to be a meaningless game, but it wasn't as the day started. He didn't show up to practice the week of their final game, and because of that, the team had to suspend him. So that's what Antonio Brown's problem is. He's also got legal issues right now. So you have the legal issues. You have Antonio Brown saying, hey, if you do sign me, I want all the guaranteed money in the world. That's essentially what he's saying. If you have guaranteed money, come call me. So Antonio Brown apparently wants a new contract. Odell Beckham Jr. is under a long-term contract he just signed last offseason. And I understand that the Antonio Brown, it doesn't seem like that's feasible to even bring him in. But if you're asking which guy would you rather have, it's a no-brainer to me. Not to mention the fact that Antonio Brown is 31. Odell Beckham Jr. is 26. He turns 27 in November of next year. I just think that Bill Belichick, as the genius that he is going to look at the situation, and it appears he was looking at it last year, saying, okay, Gronkowski's getting a little older. He was willing to trade Gronkowski last offseason, and maybe that was a negotiating ploy on both sides, but nonetheless, he was willing. He was talking to the Lions about a possible trade, so he knew Gronk was aging. Now all he has really at the receiver position is Julian Edelman, who's coming back. He's 5'10 or whatever it is at the age of 33, so how much longer can he do it? So you don't have any weapons, really, for your 41-year-old quarterback who is going to be 42 for next year that you can depend on outside of Julian Edelman. Is anybody going into next season, if Gronkowski decides to come back, are you really willing to say, yeah, I 100% think we're going to get the Gronk that was Gronk a couple of years ago? No. What you're going to get is probably a version of the Gronk we saw this year. Yeah, you're going to have spots like we saw in the postseason where Gronk was outstanding. Had the biggest catch of the game against the Rams. Maybe the two biggest catches of the game. You're going to have spurts of that. In the Chiefs, he had a big game. But you're also going to have games, like we saw against the Chargers, where he has one catch for 25 yards. You're going to have weeks where he goes, maybe a month, I should say, without scoring a touchdown like we saw at times this year. He had three touchdowns the entire season. So you can't depend on that guy. Edelman is aging. You need an injection of talent into this offense. And I just don't trust that you're going to find that guy in the draft. Usually we don't see, like, that's why Odell Beckham Jr. is a rarity. We don't see a ton of rookie receivers come into the league and just completely dominate. We don't see that each and every year. And I'd rather get a proven commodity. If I have a first-round pick at 32, and maybe that's the selling point for the Giants, maybe you can offer them a future first-round pick, I'm willing to deal away a first-round pick for Odell Beckham Jr. And you can say, oh, you know what? Well, Brian, this team has never operated this way. They haven't had to operate this way, right? Because Brady's made everybody else better. Well, Brady is now aging, and he's now 42, and your receiving core is completely depleted. You don't really have that option anymore. You kind of have to go out there and get another guy. And I'm sorry, Golden Tate, really nice player, can run after the catch, all those different type of things. Golden Tate should not be mentioned in the same breath as Odell Beckham Jr. I don't care that I'm going to have to give up draft capital in order to get Odell Beckham Jr. because he is a significantly better player than Golden Tate, and Golden Tate is somebody that's going to be entering 31 when he starts this contract. How much longer can he play the way he plays? He's another guy that has a lot of run after the catch stuff. So you're going to have two smaller receivers in Edelman and Amendola going into next season if you decide, or rather Amendola, Edelman and Tate, if you decide to go that way, two smaller receivers over the age of 30. Or do you want to go after the absolute freak show that can help your quarterback into his 42nd-year-old season in the NFL? That's the way I look at it. It seems like that would be the play for me. I'm going after Odell Beckham Jr. I'm going all in. The only issue is now the Patriots are going to have a lot of competition if the Giants do decide that they're going to open this thing up again. And the Giants should open this thing up again because you're going to draft a new quarterback, or you're going to pick up a new quarterback, however you decide to do this. Maybe you draft another quarterback in 2 years. Odell Beckham Jr. is not going to be happy with a rebuilding project, because what else do the Giants have? They have Saquon Barkley. That's it, and Odell Beckham Jr. You don't have a quarterback right now. Eli Manning can't play. So finally, that stupid organization that is the New York Giants is going to realize that, you know what? We have to move on from Eli Manning. So do you think that Odell Beckham Jr., who's already been upset with Eli Manning, we've seen that in terms of the team struggling, the team losing. He said he's so sick of losing. Do you think that Odell Beckham Jr., at the age of 26, about to turn 27, is going to say, you know what? You know what I'm in for? Another 2 to 3 years of a rebuild, and then maybe Dwayne Haskins is the franchise guy. Because I just don't see him being on board with that. I see Odell Beckham Jr. saying, you know what? I'd like to go somewhere else when I can actually be successful, and I can actually play in the postseason for a change. Because I really have never been playing in postseason games outside one time where I played the Green Bay Packers. And everybody blamed the loss on me, even though everybody forgets the fact that Eli Manning sucked in that game, okay? So Aaron Rodgers beat them, and everybody blamed him because of the boat trip. All right, he gets to the Patriots. You're not going to have to worry about those issues with Odell Beckham Jr. He's just going to be happy. It's going to be one of those situations where Odell Beckham Jr. gets to the Patriots, and he says, you know, oh, this is what it feels like to play for a real team. Oh, this is what a real quarterback looks like. This is what a real operation looks like. Oh, wait, this is Josh McDaniels, and we're running, like, actual different formations. Like, instead of having this offense that we had in New York where it was like, okay, either we hand it to Saquon Barkley or we throw the ball in terms of a slant to Odell Beckham Jr. and hopes he takes it 80 yards for a touchdown. That was the offense with the Giants. Behind an offensive line that couldn't block anybody. So you go to a team with the best line coach in the history of the league, the best quarterback in the history of the league, and they're going to want you to help elevate that quarterback at this stage of his career. If it's me, you can't absolutely ignore the fact that your receiving core was not good last year outside of Edelman in the postseason and towards the end of the year. You can't ignore that. You need a big-time talent at the receiver position. I get it. In the past, they haven't needed it. But Brady being 42, they're going to need that dynamic receiver. If it's me, the guy I'm going after, if he's really on the market, I'm all in on going after Odell Beckham Jr. If I'm Bill Belichick and I'm this Patriots organization, man, can you imagine Josh McDaniels with this guy? Can you imagine Josh McDaniels just lining him up all over the field? How great that would look for the Patriots with Odell Beckham Jr. there. How many different things they can do. Look at what they get out of Cordarrelle Patterson. That guy's running jet sweeps and whatnot. Cordarrelle Patterson played a role on this team. Not near the player that Odell Beckham Jr. is, but they found a role for Cordarrelle Patterson. Imagine if this team had a chance to put in Odell Beckham Jr. What that would actually look like for the Patriots. It would be amazing. I'm telling you, it would be absolutely amazing. So please, if this is really true, that Odell Beckham Jr., that these talks are going to open up again, if you're the Patriots, please go after him, because this would be absolutely ridiculous in terms of what it would mean for Tom Brady. They would be so good with Odell Beckham Jr. And give Brady this as a favor. We need to go for it one more time for you, Tom. Get this guy in for Brady. All right, a lot more to get into. We'll get into everything going on with the Patriots, Rob Gronkowski's retirement. Would you go after Odell Beckham Jr.? Plus, apparently Mel Kiper has somebody in mind for the Patriots in his latest mock draft. Chris Sale extension, Manny Machado gets $300 million, all that on the table. 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you for the next 2 hours right here on WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.